can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today we are talking about some trending Netflix documentaries. Yes, it is documentaries, so I'm not necessarily wading into waters that I've never been in before. but I am excited to talk about them because, like, really, these documentaries are very popular. I guess you could say they're popular with the kids these days, mostly because they have to deal with topics that are very much in popular culture and something that if you're kind of on social media, you probably know about. Probably mostly Twitter and Facebook, these things are sort of out and about. But also, Instagram is a huge one. I don't know. It's some news, I would say, informative about what's going on right now. So if you're wondering what these topics are, let me inform you. We will be talking about the Netflix documentary American Meme, which is about memes. And then we will also be talking about the Netflix documentary Fyre, which is about the failed Fyre Festival. So very Instagram-worthy topics. I am going to start by talking about American Meme. And let me just pose this question. When you go on to, like, probably Instagram or Twitter. What information do you have come up? Is it just like your aunt's dog and like where your roommate is eating for lunch? Or is it actually a celebrity? Is it this like what we call the social media influencers and all of these models? Is that what information is popping up first onto your social media feed? Because to be honest, that's probably what's coming up on my feed the most. Because my friends post here and there, you know, my family does. But if you're following these so-called social media influencers, the type of information that is just flashing before your eyes is so consistently about people that you don't really know in real life. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're probably not on social media that much because I feel like you can't avoid it. Like there are so many memes that are everywhere and social media is just like full and really I would say swollen with like all of this social media influencers information. People like, Hailey Bieber, she is up all the time on social media. Paris Hilton, people like Josh Ostrowski, aka The Fat Jewish, as you probably know him, that's his Instagram handle. So many people that come up that I have never met in real life, but I see their pictures all the time. I see their, like, all their comments, pictures of their dogs, their really tiny purse-sized dogs. This information comes up, and I feel like probably because Netflix and all the people that work for them had the same problem that I do, they were like, you know, we should make a movie about this. I think this will be interesting. And I have to say, it is extremely interesting. This is a very informative documentary. And as easily as this film could have gone in the direction of just glamour and the trivial nature of people who just live basically on social media and live to post social media things about, you know, their mansions, this film is so deep and it really, it moved me, I would say. I felt very impacted by it. So I'm excited to talk about it. As I mentioned, the film's on Netflix, so it's easy to watch. It was released in 2018, and director and writer is Burt Marcus. So I'm going to talk about the stars of this film. They're not actors because it's a documentary, but they're people that I'm sure you've heard of. So Kirill Buchovsky, aka the Slut Whisperer. Again, this is just an Instagram handle. I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to kick kids out of listening. Also Hailey Bieber, as I mentioned. This is also an interesting one in this film is Dane Cook, who is a stand-up comedian who I really thought I would never have to hear about again. The reason that I know about Dane Cook is because when I first got an iPod, I remember I got a Dane Cook stand-up special on my iPod. It's very embarrassing. It's still in my iTunes somewhere. But that is, he was definitely on the social medias and in popular culture if he was on my iPod. Let's see. Also, Matthew Felker, Brittany Furlan, Paris Hilton, DJ Khalid. As I mentioned, the Fat Jewish, and Emily Ratajkowski. Again, if you haven't heard of these people, you're probably not on social media that much, because these are people who are in our culture and who became, well, not all of them, but who a lot of them have either become famous or are continuing their fame through platforms like Instagram. I'm going to use Instagram mostly for this. I feel like that's what the documentary touched on the most, and it's also the social media platform I am mostly familiar with. I'm not super familiar with Twitter, so where I see these people and sort of am influenced by them is mostly via Instagram. So this documentary is following these social media personalities. It focuses a lot on a specific four, which I'll mention later, and it shows their work to create commercial success out of their online presence. The film premiered to critical acclaim and was purchased at the Tribeca Film Festival as a Netflix original documentary. And the sale of this was one of the most high-profile documentary acquisitions of the year. And honestly, rightfully so. If you see a film that has the title American Meme, I feel like I am very quick to write it off. And I think that it'll be a lot more humorous than I found this film to actually be. It really does tackle much more serious topics, such as influencers, sort of like the loneliness of social media, the coldness that it can be, but also the fan love, really the love that fans have for people on social media and the love that those people on social media have for their fans. And that's what I want to touch on first. This film opens with Paris Hilton, and she is one of the main people this film focuses on, and it's talking about her followers. And she says that she feels closer to her followers than most people she knows, which is a very bold statement, because also I would imagine that Paris Hilton knows a lot of people. And I mean, she's from a famous family, but she has so many fans. It is amazing. And she's on almost every social media platform, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. It goes on, but she is on all these platforms, and she's had followers like probably since the inception of Instagram. Many, many people follow her. Also, I did not know this, but they call themselves the Little Hiltons, which is kind of adorable and also creepy. but I don't know. I guess that makes sense for the name of her fans. Also, with this like fan love, I guess is the best way to call it. It's the idea that, like, you're going to trust just your fans and these people who feel devoted to you and adore you. And at least with Paris Hilton, she talks about how she trusts these people way more than anyone else. People who, many of them, she has never met in person, but people who comment on all of her stuff, like all of her pictures. And a lot of times you see a lot of fans post response videos to the stuff that she does and beg her to come to their city. It's really interesting, especially with someone like Paris Hilton, when you know some of her past and some of the things that have happened in her life. It starts to make sense when I look at it that way, because it's hard for me to imagine having that many adoring fans. But I guess if you're Paris Hilton and you had that many people who talk all the time about how much they loved you and would do anything for you, it kind of makes sense about why you would trust these people perhaps more than the others around you, who, for all you know, might be trying to get money or, I don't know, paparazzi pictures with you. I feel like I had a lot of moments watching this film where I was like, oh, now that they've explained it, I understand this idea that I would normally think is crazy, this like absolute love of social media and this life dedication to a social media platform. Many things that I would normally think is kind of insane, after watching this film, it makes more sense. So I will give the documentary that. It really did change my mind about that. Also, there is the sentiment, as I said, about the fan love and about being able to trust fans more than other people. That's not something that is held by all of the social media influencers this documentary follows, but for some of them, I would say it definitely is. At least if it's not trust over maybe other people, like people in real life around you, it's definitely a great love for fans. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back and keep talking more about the Netflix documentary American Meme.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the Netflix documentary American Meme about social media, and specifically about the social media influencers that pop up on our news feeds all the time, or at least your social media Instagram news feeds and potentially your Facebook news feeds. I want to mention, before the break I talked about Paris Hilton, I want to talk about her just a little bit more because I felt like Paris Hilton stirred me the most in this film. Well, Paris Hilton and one other influencer who I'll mention later. But one of the reasons it hit me so hard about Paris Hilton was I found myself asking, why is Paris Hilton still relevant? Like, why is she still important in our pop culture? And I learned that there were many things in social media that she kind of invented, like so many of the ways that influencers go about doing things, the constant social media presence, the constant pushing of content and posts. And also she just had this like blueprint for celebrity. And one of the things that I noticed when watching this film that showed this, that she was really the blueprint for celebrity, I had forgotten that Kim Kardashian was Paris Hilton's intern. And when I learned that, I was like, oh, everything Kim Kardashian does is kind of what Paris Hilton did. Just the idea of like, you're not really sure why someone is famous. Like they might come from a wealthy family or an influential family, but like, why is this person famous? They're not an actress. They're not a singer. They're kind of a model. You know, what is the reason for this? And after watching this film, I was like, oh yeah, Paris Hilton invented the idea of the Instagram model, the Instagram influencer. Like, why is that person famous and influential? It's like the old adage, like kind of for doing nothing. So I really, once I realized that, I was like, man, she does have a big influence and has had a social media history, really. Also, I learned that so many influencers love Paris Hilton. I guess, again, it goes back to the blueprint thing for so many people of what they do now on social media. Another thing that Paris Hilton said that I thought was interesting, she had a couple almost sage-like bits of wisdom. but she mentioned that the industry doesn't really let you grow up. And that's all part of being an image and being a product where, you know, like social media and companies and products that you're supposed to push, they want you to still sort of be like you're 21, you know, to have that type of fun, glamorous, youthful appearance. And I thought that was really interesting that Paris Hilton pointed that out, because a lot of the other social media influencers are very young and Paris Hilton is a bit older than them and has been in the business of, I don't know, pop culture, celebrity and influencer longer. And she really feels like she is forced to sort of seem like she's still in her early 20s. And that really stuck with me. I think that's a problem that a lot of other people in pop culture and other influencers will feel. I don't know. I guess the idea of growing up is interesting when it comes to social media. How can you glamorize that? You know, you can't really. It'll be interesting to see where social media goes in a few years. Another thing that she pointed out that I thought was interesting, She talked about how she was afraid to die. And she said she was afraid to die because she was scared that once she died, after death, it would be nothing. And that would be beyond boring, which I never thought that Paris Hilton would say something that I found so interesting. But a lot of people who were on social media, you go to it because you don't want to be bored. And the idea of being afraid of death because you're afraid it'll be nothing, which will be boring. I don't know. I just thought that was a tidbit that interested me and kind of made me smile, I guess. But also the last kernel of, I don't know, social media truth that I felt Paris Hilton dispensed was the idea that you have to be sustainable forever. Like, you might be an internet sensation, you know, for a little bit, like the kid who took a selfie with Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl. Like, you might be hot for a second and you might even get to be on Ellen, but it's being able to be sustainable through all of that continuously, and always be reinventing yourself. In terms of reinventing yourself, I think that goes a lot with social media regrets, how everything that we do on social media now is captured. And, you know, you might regret that in a few years, even though at the time, maybe you think that picture's cool, or, you know, when you're posing in your bathing suit or whatever, you never know how that's going to come back to get you. Paris Hilton specifically, she did have a sex tape, which was leaked. Again, reminds me of Kim Kardashian. But amongst other things, other personal information that can get leaked on social media, I was reminded of how people on social media have to deal with all the haters that come after them. And just to see how someone like Paris Hilton is continually, you know, reinventing her image despite the haters. And I mean, yes, she is very rich, so that does help. But it was interesting. Other question this film brought up was the idea of who gets famous and who has influence over society, what you become famous for, and how you sustain that fame. And just, I really felt this film was a good cultural commentary on how especially young people are extremely influenced by social media, depending on what brands you want to buy, what clothes you wear, where you go, where you vacation. I feel like I never felt more inclined to go to the Greek islands than this summer when I was heavily on Instagram and everyone apparently was at the Greek islands and it looked gorgeous. I just wanted to, you know, dance with Lindsay Lohan like she did when she was probably extremely high on the Greek islands. But again, it's extremely influential. Even memes are really influential and are probably changing our sense of humor as a society. Also, the idea that privacy is dead. Nothing is personal. And one of the other things from this film that made me feel sympathetic and empathetic towards people on social media models, social media influencers, content creators, was just the idea that when you become that powerful on social media, you're the one in the driver's seat. In past media, like print media, you know, magazines, newspapers, TV, radio, all those things, you always have someone who's filtering you. But when you have your own Instagram account, you become the editor. You don't need permission. You don't need to, you know, have someone approve how you portray yourself. And again, you probably will get haters, but you're able to kind of portray yourself as you want to the public. And you're just kind of at the mercy of if the public likes it. But I guess that made me understand the desire to be an influencer a little bit more. Some of the main influencers this film covers are... let's see, Brittany Furlan, who got really famous off of Vine. You also, as I mentioned, the fat Jewish, he comes in a lot. Also, Kirill, who you might know on Instagram, again, as the Slut Whisperer. And these are people who I know about some of them. I knew about the fat Jewish. I had seen Brittany Furlan's videos before. I don't know if I could really call if I could say her name just by seeing her face, but I knew of her work. I did not know about The Slut Whisperer, which, I mean, I guess that just means I'm a wholesome person, but it was interesting. Brittany really had this way of using Vine to portray her comedy and her way of being an actress. You saw some of her fame coming up in Vine. She became extremely influential that way. And then you saw how she had to reinvent herself after Vine got taken down. Vine is a social media platform where you could make, like, I think it was 6-second videos. I'm so sorry for all the people who love Vines. I did not get super into the craze. But it was a very short video that you would just post and people could just watch. And I think because they were so short, you could just binge watch them very easily. And Britney became famous for doing a lot of funny skits on Vine. She, of course, got a lot of haters. Everyone on social media does. But after Vine, I think you see Britney have to deal with the loneliness. When the film begins, she's not dating anyone, she's not married, and just the idea of you want to always have that constant response, I guess, like what you get from being an actress. Like if you're on stage, you get immediate feedback, and because you can just immediately make something on Vine and then post it, you get very quick, instant feedback. Like on Instagram, you get immediate feedback from fans, you get immediate likes and follows, or you get no likes, no follows, no views, and it's just that immediate response from people. I feel like the idea of being surrounded by people when at the same time you're completely alone. And you really feel that with Britney. You get the idea of, you know, she got famous off of Vine, and where is she going to go from there? Being able to sustain herself in the public eye. And I'm not going to give away. I mean, if you know about her, you know that she does find love, which is interesting. But another reason to go see the film, who she ends up with. Another influencer, the Fat Jewish, I follow him on Instagram. He's hilarious. You see him make a fake brand of baby products for baby DJs. He makes it with Paris Hilton, which is a hilarious crossover. And it's really funny how he uses social media to promote comedy, but how he also was accused of stealing memes and other people's content. And I guess in terms of sustainability, he is the CEO of a wine brand. If you don't know, it is Rosé. I believe it's just called Baby or Babe, but he has really made a name for himself on Instagram, but has also ensured his financial security with this Rosé brand. So you see him as a smart businessman, I would say, which is not something I ever thought I would say about the Fat Jewish. That is, I don't know, it's really interesting to see how people try and sustain themselves using this very fast-paced form of entertainment. And then the last influencer they really talk about is Kirill, again, who his Instagram handle is The Slut Whisperer. He is sort of like a photographer who goes to parties to create a party. His thing is like pouring magnums of champagne on scantily clad women, and he takes a lot of photos of it, and things that kind of seem very degrading to women, but women like volunteer to do it. It's really interesting. Honestly, I would say I'm surprised he's still doing these things in today's society. Surprised that the Me Too movement has not come after him. But you see him really feel this desire to be liked and a realization that he can't be alone. He constantly needs other people around him, but yet that need and his lifestyle is sort of killing him in many ways. And his desire to be with someone else, kind of like how Brittany Furlan talks about that, the need to have sort of a partner, but the difficulty to do that with, at least for him particularly, his line of work of constant travel and constant partying. And I feel like his story was the most tragic to me, especially because they interview his family a lot, and his family are immigrants. So it was really interesting to see his story. So we're going to take another break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about Netflix documentaries.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the Netflix documentaries American Meme and Fire. I want to wrap up American Meme. I want to provide some of my closing thoughts. The first one is that in some ways I felt this documentary taught me how to be a social media influencer. Not that I feel that's going to be my big career change, but it was really interesting. It talks about advertisements on social media. And again, a lot of the social media personalities that this film follows talk about sustainability and how to keep fame in such an ever-changing platform. So it was interesting. There were so many things about, in quotes, organic advertisement posts that I did not know of. It's really interesting. And I guess it kind of informed me how much I'm being influenced by people on Instagram. But at the same time, I think it humanized a lot of the people on Instagram. That's another one of my thoughts. I would say it peeled back this very glamorous, clean, and well-photographed sort of image that I often get from people on Instagram. And it made me feel that these people who are pushing advertisements and trying to sell me shoes and trying to tell me what memes are funny, I felt that it humanized them in a way that I really didn't expect. It was funny and entertaining, but it was very moving, honestly. And it made me feel that I should probably take a little bit of a break from social media. But not just me, probably a lot of the people who work in social media and who are constantly posting. It really made me feel empathy, I would say. So it's touching. I highly suggest it. Again, it's on Netflix. Please go see this film. It's a great documentary. Okay, so moving on to this next film, we're talking about Fire. This is a 2019 film, so it came out this year. It's also on Netflix. It is directed by Chris Smith. And some of the people that this documentary follows are Billy McFarland, who is the Fire co-founder, Ja Rule, who is also the Fire co-founder. It also follows many former Fire employees, along with people who worked at the Fire Festival and attendees. Another person who really sticks out in this film is Andy King, who is the former Fire event producer. So this documentary is a behind-the-scenes look at the infamous unraveling of the Fire Music Festival. The film starts with the beginning of the festival, with the planning and the promo video shoot, up to the attempted setup of the festival, and the disastrous conclusion and aftermath. This film, it's connected to American Meme in the terms of, I guess, influencers. This film really shows the power that social media influencers have on people. Basically, the whole reason I would say that the Fire Festival got so many people to try and attend was their social media platform and the social media influencers and models that they hired to do their promo video. It is amazing the power that video had, and it got thousands of people to give this company their money and to say they were going to the festival. It is really crazy. If you don't know about the Fire Festival, Fire was a company there. They were pitching a software and were building it, a software that is sort of like talent booking. Like, it was supposed to be an easier way for people to book like famous DJs and models and things like that. And really, to promote this software, they decided to make a festival, aka Fire Festival. If you're on social media or you saw anything in the news, you know that Fire Festival just crashed and burned. It was not successful at all. It was a terrible disaster. Like, people had no food, they had no shelter. It was awful. I guess the other thing I want to say with influence is not just social media influencers and social media promo videos, but also the power and influence that the co-founders, Billy McFarland and Ja Rule, had. So many people who worked for this festival had so much hope in Billy and put a lot of trust in him. And ultimately, Billy is going to jail. So it's really interesting to see how people had so much hope in someone who really is kind of like a crooked businessman. It's really interesting. Another thing about this is the desire that so many people had just to make something bigger than themselves, even though they really weren't able to. So the people who made Fire Festival wanted to make this giant, mega, uber popular festival. And I just really felt that you can kind of tell they're not going to be able to do it really from the beginning. They don't have the expertise to pull this off, but you see their desire and sort of they stoke the flames with models and they surround themselves with wealthy things, all for a desire to appear a certain way and to put on a festival that will make them, you know, popular and successful. But also the people who want to attend this festival. People wanted to go because of the promo video that showed being on the beach in the Bahamas with models and bands, and like it sold you the image of what it could be if you go to this festival. If you go, you're going to be in the sun, it's going to be beautiful, there'll be models everywhere. Just that idea is really what I think fueled the festival and what fueled the people who wanted to go. So it's interesting. Also, what is really interesting is that social media influencers who were paid thousands of dollars just to post about the festival to get people to go and buy tickets, they built up this festival, and kind of this festival was just destroyed by Twitter and Instagram people who just tried to attend and had an awful experience. People who were not social media influencers. There's the famous photo of just a piece of cheese on a sandwich. It looks like a terrible cheese sandwich. It was posted by one guy on Twitter who went to the festival and was very disappointed. And that whole festival came down kind of like on that one picture. And it was built up by so much money and so much power. It's, yeah, I mean, poor planning leads you to be torn down that quickly. Also, I just want to close with, I would really be remiss to not mention Andy King. He is one of the people who was interviewed and followed and consulted about with this film. And, as I said, he was the former event producer for the Fyre Festival. Andy was someone who worked with Billy. He trusted him. He was brought on for this festival. And, he has this one part in the film that really, really stands out. If I talk about this film to someone, I always mention this. In the film, he shares a story about how he was asked by Billy to, in quotes, take one for the team. And this is hard to say. And to perform oral sex on the director of customs to have a shipment of Evian water released for the festival. Otherwise, customs was not going to allow the water to be released unless they were paid their large sum of money immediately. I'm just going to tell you this. He did not end up doing this request, but he was going to. He was going to do it. I feel like I can share this story now because it's been on Instagram. It's been on all different kinds of news sources. Like, just imagine being Andy King, and for the rest of your life, people have seen this documentary and know that you were going to do that. That's crazy. He did not really want to originally have this part in the film, but recently he has come out and said that right now he's okay, that it didn't get cut. I mean, obviously he's happy. I mean, I'm sure it would be different if he had to actually go through with that particular act. But what Andy did initially is he told the producers that he wanted that part taken out. He had consulted his creative team and his team of lawyers, and they said they had to pull it out of the documentary. But the director told him that they had to leave it in. It's what made the scene in the documentary. And honestly, it kind of is. And he has become very popular on social media because of that part. And it's shocking. Obviously, and it is definitely terrible, but it really is a great part. Overall, this is a great documentary. I would highly suggest that you watch both. If you've never heard about the Fyre Festival and the disastrous result, I would suggest maybe just reading up a little bit about the festival before you watch it. I guess you don't have to. The documentary will tell you about it, but learning about the festival before the documentary really made the documentary more impactful, and you should definitely watch American Meme. It is a spectacular documentary. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening, and please tune in to the next GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.